From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Oh, hey there, children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever-wonderful, ever-vampiric, ever-the-cape-wearing, forever-the-heart-throb of Bob After Dark, my friend, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Bob, we're all giddy for another episode of Bob After Dark. I, too, get a little choked up when I do the old hey there, you know?
Yeah.
You get emotional when you do it, you know?
Yeah, how have you been? We didn't have an episode last week.
Bob, you know, things get in the way. You're traveling, the sport's going. There's a lot of things
on. It's usually summertime's our best time to do the show, but this year it's been sports ball. So sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes we need a week off. It just depends.
Yeah, but here's a good thing for you, Bob, though, traveling, too, as well.
That's a good thing. Yes, I will be. That's a good thing. This weekend, I'm going to be at Kitsune Con in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Nice. Now, what does that con have?
Green Bay, Wisconsin.
I know.
I thought you said where.
No, Green Bay, I'm familiar. But what's the con entail?
It's an anime con. I'll be speaking Friday night.
Okay.
At 8 p.m.
I've seen anime in my day, Bob.
Oh, you've been to an anime convention with me before.
Yeah, we've done.
I do a lot of anime cons.
Pokemon.
I don't understand it. I'll be completely frank with you. When people are like, "Oh, what kind of shows do you get booked for? Paranormal cons?" I'm like, no, I don't.
Well, there's lots of crossover, Bob.
There is. Usually when I do the anime cons, I present the yokai panels because that, like, it's directly associated. So that kind of works out. But I do a lot of anime shows. It's because I'm the only person in the anime community, like, that does the cons that do what I do, yeah. I guess. And it's kind of exciting to be like that, you know. I like to pretend I'm like the anime con, you know, superstar, I guess.
You're the guy.
Yeah. I am the guy. I do a lot of anime shows, and it's a lot of fun, so I'll be there this weekend working Kitsune-Con, and we'll be back next week with another episode. I don't think we're being interrupted with that, but...
If not, we could always record it.
Yeah, we always can. But anyway, what's been going on with you? What are you doing?
You know, Bob, keeping busy out there. Summertime in full swing, right?
Hot as can be, yes.
Going to be in the 90s, early, not the early 90s, low 90s.
Early 90s, yeah, man, got some grunge.
I mean, the early 90s. 90s this week, late 80s, early 90s this week, so some nice warm weather for the old summer solstice going on, where the veil is not at its thinnest.
It's not, but it is what it is. Yeah. What have I been up to? I've been busy, just kind of doing whatever it is that Bob does in his time these days. I managed to tweak my back.
You tweaked your back.
I tweaked my back.
How did that happen?
I don't know exactly. So I'm doing better today, but yesterday and the day before was kind of a miserable experience. So I've been dealing with that. I did watch a very exciting movie.
What'd you watch?
It wasn't paranormal themed, but okay. it's a thinker of a movie, and it's actually a rather interesting watch. So I watched my mother, and I've been checking in on my mom a lot more since dad's thing. Being gone now, so I check in with my mom, and when I check in with mom, we'll watch it like a documentary or something together. It's just how we bond, I guess, these days. And we watched one today at the time of this recording. I watched the Marilyn Monroe tapes on Netflix.
Okay.
On Netflix, yeah. If you're listening, you should sponsor the show. We don't have an affiliate link, but, you know, we should. I digress. So we watched that, and it is a bunch of unheard audio tapes from this investigative journalist that was looking into the Marilyn Monroe death.
Really?
Back like in 1982. And this investigative journalist is releasing, and he has like 600 tapes of like interviews talking about the Marilyn Monroe case, and it's fascinating.
Interesting.
So I watched that and I checked that out, and literally that all spawned because of a fake Netflix trailer I saw on TikTok. So I'll explain. So I'm on TikTok and I see this guy on there and he's talking about this movie called The Vanishing, which is this documentary on Netflix about this young lady who gets on a roller coaster in front of her family. And when she gets off, when the roller coaster stops, she wasn't on the roller coaster. What? And they went to go search for her in case she fell out and she wasn't there. And this guy talks about it like it's this 10 out of 10, like, must-see, like, spooky documentary, right? And I was all about it. Because he's like, wait, you know, just when you think you have it all figured out, there's a really strange twist to the story. I'm like, dude, I'm all about it.
Yeah.
So I go on Netflix and I'm looking up this movie called The Vanishing. And it doesn't exist.
What?
This guy made up.
Wow, really?
This guy literally makes his TikTok career by making up fake premises to, like, Netflix movies and makes people like me go out and look them up. This was my first time getting tricked by the guy. But I was all jazzed about this roller coaster thing because I was like, oh, it's probably something spooky and paranormal. And it wasn't.
It had a good concept for a movie.
It was a cool, but no, nothing happened. So it was, I was like, maybe she did, like, the whole dimension thing where she hopped dimensions, but... Yeah.
Now I want to see that documentary.
It doesn't exist. It's not real.
The
guy tricked me.
They could make a movie off of it.
The guy tricked me. He 100% tricked me, and I'm pretty sad about that.
Been bamboozled.
So instead, we watched the Marilyn Monroe tapes, and it was a fascinating story. It was very... There's a lot there that I didn't know, and I mean, I'm not like a Marilyn Monroe scholar by any means. I've seen some of her movies, but my father was a big fan. It was an interesting thing. So
all men were.
I recommend the Marilyn Monroe documentary, The Monroe Tapes. It's on Netflix.
Is that your pick of the week?
Maybe I'll start doing that. Pick of the week. Well, I spend a lot of time when I do watch, like, TV and stuff. I try to watch as much paranormal content as I possibly can, but you can only fit so much information in your brain at once.
Yeah.
So, like, I watch these bizarre documentaries or the Did You Know stuffs. Sometimes you just need to rot your brain.
Yeah.
And you can watch, like, you know, Beyond Scared Straight or something on TV just to be like, I'm rotting my brain, whatever.
I'm sure there's tales of the ghost of Marilyn Monroe walking around.
There is, in fact. And I almost did something similar to that for the episode this week based, but we did something else instead. We were doing a really cool episode that I'm dedicating to my mom. She'll get a kick out of it. But if this is your first time ever watching or listening to Bob After Dark, we are not a movie podcast unless we're talking about a paranormal topic. We are a paranormal show where we talk about legends, lore, and supernatural things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, and of course, Count Panic's favorite pierogi stuffing.
I gotcha. I'm a classic. I think I'm a classic guy. I'm going to go with the classic potato pierogi. The potato pierogi, Bob. I'm going to go with that.
I'm a potato and cheddar for me. Cheese.
I didn't know I could have two fillings.
Can potato and cheddar count as one singular filling. But I prefer the potato pierogies myself.
So they got, you know what? They got different variants.
I know. It's too ridiculous.
Spinach and...
Spinach and feta. No. Yeah, if your if John's listening, if my dad's listening out there in the world, they're probably angry. Well, I know John might be angry. My dad's probably listening and just shaking his head. And you know,
he'll call him with his favorite pierogi.
My dad called in. I'd appreciate it.
I believe. He's called in? You never know, Bob.
We wait for Bob Anderson Sr. to call in. But
One follow up on that. I'm gonna spin this on you for a little bit.
Yeah, hit me.
Sour cream on a pierogi? Yes or no?
Applesauce. Okay. Speaking of my father, I have a paranormal experience that I want to share with you.
Okay.
This happened when we did our La Jolla episode.
Yeah.
The last episode we put out. Mm-hmm. So I get home from doing the show, and how do I say this? So we do the show, right? And I get home, and I stay with my mother a couple nights a week, make sure she's all set and taken care of. So I go and I go and check on my mom, and I stay over there, and I get home, and my mom, you know, my mom listens every week via radio. My mom is old school like that. She listens every week on the radio. Her and my father did that up to when he passed too. So I get there, and my mom says, tell your dad to go visit you at the studio. I'm like, well, Mom, if I'm telling Dad to come visit me anywhere, I think it'd be a long-distance call. So I'm not doing a security risk on my mom by any means, but, like, where my mother lives, there's two floors of doors before you can get to my mother's front door, where there's like a foyer, right? Mm-hmm. You've been to the house, you know what it is.
Yeah, I carried a couch up the stairs.
Yeah, we carried a couch. It was a chair.
A chair, yeah.
So there's a little foyer, right? My mom said last week, or 2 weeks ago, well, the last episode we did, we go to go live, and the second I said, oh, hey there, my mom's front door opened.
Really?
Nobody there. And there's no way for the door just to open by itself. It's a pretty secure door. So mom reaches, I get home, mom tells me that, and she's like, she looks up, and mom doesn't get scared about things, because help the thing that my mother gets scared of, right?
Yeah.
She's like, I look to the door, and there she says, I told your dad, oh, I see you decided to pop in when our son decides to go live.
There you go. That's touching, Bob. And, you know, I believe that as well. That's very that he was there, of course. But, yeah, you know what? The paranormal is an interesting thing. Right when a sound hits or a noise hits or a familiar voice hits, that's when things could pick up right there. And when they hear the, oh, hey there, what more can you expect? People show up.
Now, Colin, I'm. This is gonna be a quick break. Not break, but quick thing. Count on Jed TV. Currently, there is an old episode being aired that's not live.
Really,
I got a couple people that just wrote in and said that there's a rerun.
That is interesting.
Let me there's a rerun going on.
Well, we're live on the radio.
We're live on the radio and for podcast land and whatever.
That's really now that's a paranormal thing. I think within itself, there, Bob.
Yeah, no, because there is. It's a. This is an old episode with Andy and JR from
let me try
from the paranormal stuff. But anyway, so real quick, just wanted to chime in there and say that we needed to fix that. And here we are. Let's go back to the show.
Yeah. Okay, there we are. Wow.
Okay, that's so we're live.
Now, that's another interesting thing we could talk about as far as being a
Dan must have really liked that episode, I guess.
Well, that's the one that
we used to Queen and I just shared a screen cap with me, and I'm wearing a green button dress-up shirt, and I'm like, man, I'd be sweating like crazy in that today.
Well, you know what? Summertime, you're wearing a – see, now I'm glad we switched over on the video format, because you can see you're wearing the traditional – Panic in the
some guy named Tony Panic.
Yeah.
I don't know. He hosts a show.
Last name as me, I guess.
Any relation?
I don't know if there's a relation.
No, but it's Panic in the Reason or Panic in the Region. We have a caller?
Bob, you know what? The phone is blinking. You want to take it live?
Take it live.
We'll take it live.
Hi, you're on the air, caller.
Hey there, Bob.
Oh, hey there, John. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for sharing that story about your dad. That was very touching and very true, to be honest with you. So I'm glad he's still, you know, he's still keeping an eye on you to make sure you carry up the chair right?
And making sure me and your the knucklehead and producer I have get it carried up the stairs.
Got it up there. We got it up there.
Until that thing doesn't fall down the stairs. But, yeah, give me sauerkraut, potato, not in this order, but potato, sauerkraut, and cheese pierogies.
Mm. Exactly.
Every type of filling that you could imagine in there now, and that's just not tradition to me. I mean, you know, it's okay, but it's not what me, your mom, and your dad, and probably Center Lounge grew up with.
Oh.
Center Lounge doesn't make all those crazy pierogies, do they? I don't think so.
No, but they got buffalo chicken. I don't even want to hear that. Get it out of here.
And they stick to the standards. But, you know, I think I asked you this question a few years ago, but I can't recall the answer. When you say you do these panels, what exactly is a panel? Is that like a format of some type where people come and you explain something to
them?
That is
a great question. So when I say I get booked at a panel at a convention, it is a time slot that the convention gives me to speak about a predetermined topic that they agree for me to be talking about. Does that make sense? So it's like a discussion.
Yeah, so it's like it's on a schedule where, let's say at 2 in the afternoon, Bob Anderson was going to be talking about this subject.
Yes.
People could come and hear what you say, and then it's a question-answer period.
Yeah, you do a Q&A sometimes, or if it's a late-night thing, I'll cut out, but typically I do like a little Q&A session. I usually, my panels run anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half, depending on the time slot that the convention gives me. This one upcoming, I'll be there for 1 hour.
Okay, because I know you say you do quite a bit of those, and it didn't dawn on me, I kind of forgot your answer, because like I said, it was a few years ago, what exactly is involved with the panel. So, but yeah, that's interesting, so. Now, I know, my friend,
Now you know, and knowing is half the battle, John.
So you guys have a good show, and I'll be listening.
And thank you so much, John. We appreciate you. Do we have another caller?
Not there, but you said before you do panels on telling people about panels as well.
I do, because there are people, there is a community of people like for a hobby.
Yeah.
I do it more career-based, but there are people like that go to conventions and they host, they go there to host panels and attend panels. Like, that's the community.
Yeah.
So people ask me all the time, well, how do you get into panel hosting? And it's like, well, that's a good question. So I started co-hosting a how-to panel.
There you go. And then you could also get the panel for paneling for panelers as well. There's a triple panel in there somehow. But yes, paneling, a very important thing in today's society.
Yes. Folks, I apologize for the weird start of our show here. We had some technical issues and whatnot, but we're all back to normal now.
Yeah,
and hello to everybody out there. We're back. And so, yes, I wanted to share that story about my father. Apparently,
nice.
My dad decided to come visit my mom, which I think was great. And like I said, so we're a paranormal show. Love legends, learn supernatural things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky. And let's dive into what our show's about. So show split up into two parts. First part is where we talk a little bit about the weird, spooky news of the week. This is where you, the fans, submit stories to me, news articles that are weird, ghost sightings, paranormal things going on, cryptid encounters, or just weird advances in science that borderline on science fiction. And then we get to the meat and potatoes of the episode, as it were. It's the lore of the week. That's when we focus in on a subject for the episode, and that's our main topic. So without further ado, let's dive into the spooky news of the week.
Okay.
All right.
Do it right now.
This sounds good. Count Panic, our first one comes to us from Science Alert.
Science Alert.
Science Alert. String theory. And it's not the string theory you might be thinking of.
Oh, okay.
NASA rover discovers a strange tangled object on Mars.
Strange tangled object on like a shoestring?
It's a something. So this is written by Nancy Atkinson on the Universe Today on the Science Alert website, but I'll read it word for word. Here's the best evidence I've ever seen for water on Mars. NASA's Perseverance rover came across a tangled mess of string on Mars, which looks like a snarled fish line left behind by a frustrated angler. Where there's fishing, there's got to be water, right?
Yeah, you would say so.
Say something like that. However, actually, this tiny piece of trash is likely left over from the Perseverance parachute or descent stage or even the back shell, which in all worked in tandem to bring the rover safely to the surface on Mars back in February 2021. The lead image is a close-up view of a tangled string with Perseverance on board front hazard avoidance camera A. You can see how tiny the string is in the image, and I'll share this in the Children at Night page so you guys can see it for yourselves, comparing it to the rover's wheel at the end of the robotic arm. The arm's turret is touching a rock from which the rover's drill had likely just taken a sample. The turret is like a hand that carries scientific cameras, mineral and chemical analyzers for studying the past habitability of Mars, and for choosing the most scientifically valuable sample to cache for a future possible sample to return to Earth. Very likely, the Martian wind blew the string closer to the rover, and like a tumbling tumbleweed, which is what I thought it looked like, the string has now moved on, and as just a few days later, the string is missing from the scene as it went back to investigate. Perseverance has found several objects left over from the landing, including its own parachute and the rover drone that flew over and snapped photos of the smashed back shell. Mm. Worried about all that trash left behind on the rover? Don't be, says our friend and image editing specialist Stuart Atkinson. And about 100 years or so, Martians will eagerly be collecting this stuff up and either putting it on display in museums or making it into historical jewelry, like we do with fossils, amber, and meteorites, or you can find them at your local street fair being sold as well.
Interesting.
Yes. Yeah, so hashtag panics take.
Yeah, and again, some of these things you can't really make up, right? Nowadays, we're used to whole sleight of hand video editing magic, so to speak, whether it be with cryptid photos or paranormal photos, UFO photos. But some things you can't just kind of explain sometimes. You know, We got to call folks from the Challenger Learning Center, I think, to see what's going on and exactly up there. But string, I mean, cheese. Maybe it's a string of cheese.
No, it's the best way to describe it. It does look like rope. Some sort that just kind of got bundled up, and they said the Martian winds kind of pushed it around. Mm. I initially thought it. You know, there are rocks and stuff out there.
Rubble
of some sort, a rock or sand. Who's say that the sand wasn't, you know, compressed together?
Ooh, sand.
And just kind of moved around. I don't. It looked like a tumbleweed to me. This makes total sense. Obviously, you have the people online who are like, "This is proof of the Martian." Listen, out of all the things we've looked at over the couple of years that we look at the photos from, like the space stuff from Bob After Dark, right?
Yeah.
We see a lot of these, like the doorway. Remember the doorway?
Yeah, the door.
Yeah. So I mean, there's things like that you look at and you're like, "What's going on there?" But this, I could tell you right now, it looks like some debris that we probably left behind. And I'm all about the theory that, you know, some Martian kids down the line are making friendship bracelets out of them.
So you're thinking it's just stuff that we left behind, basically.
I would say so, 100%.
Okay. That's fair enough.
All right, so our next story comes from the LA, the Lad Bible. Okay. And it's a quick video footage of, there's a new Amazon show called Our Man in Italy.
Our Man in Italy.
Our Man in Italy, hosted by James Mays. And people believe that there was a ghost spotted walking behind the main actor. And this is actually kind of breaking news, because I got to the news source before Tim Banal did.
Oh.
Coast to Coast, because right before we went live, I saw Coast to Coast put out this video. And I will share this. This will be put up on the Children of Night page, like, as soon as we get done live with the show, so you guys can see it and people in podcast land can get an idea before this gets released to podcast land. But if you look at the video, there, like, it wasn't like it was planned by the film crew. It's this guy is, I haven't seen the show, so I'm not too familiar with the source material. But this gentleman is in some sort of, like, ruin relic type deal, like a temple maybe. And he's standing in front of this wall, and a ghostly figure seems to be walking behind him, like in the background. They don't pay it any mind, but it doesn't just say, and I know, like Pat from Ghostly, for example, he would probably point that out as, oh, it might be a camera trick, like with the reflection of the light. Either way, I'm going to post this up so you guys can get your own opinion. You see stuff like this pop up from time to time, but this isn't a paranormal show. There's no reason for it to be there. So it could be either A, an actual ghost sighting that was caught on camera that wasn't intentional. B, it might be a lens, you know, freak out kind of a thing. Or C, the editor put it in there as a, you know, a ha-ha thing, like an Easter egg, somebody paying attention. I'm curious to hashtag panic state, because I got one more bit I want to talk about this from.
Yeah, well, again, so this is, to put things in perspective, it's a footage of the actor, right?
Yeah, it's a part of the
somebody
show.
Somebody behind the
actor. Yeah, so he's talking, and the camera's not even set up. I'm going to send you over the link real quick.
Okay.
This is one of those things where it's like, I should have pre-sent this one to you, but we always like your raw opinion.
Yeah.
But so the way it is that the camera's set up on the actor, and he's talking and motioning behind him about this area that he's talking about in Italy, right?
Yeah.
And in the scene, it's almost like as if it was not, how do I say, it's like not supposed to be there. Does that make sense?
I follow what you're saying, Bob, but clearly, there's something going on behind this actor here. And I see you sent the footage over to me here. So,
yeah.
Again, the actor is kind of explaining things there. I see him. He's kind of pointing at the TV set. He's kind of looking around. Or he's pointing at it. He's in the TV set. He's pointing around behind him. He's just pointing. He's thinking about things. Oh, I see right there.
Something in the background walks.
Mm. Could it be dust, Bob?
It could be dust.
I'll go with dust.
It looks like a figure, though.
Looks like a figure, but
and usually, so like you watch those like paranormal caught on camera like TV shows, right? Mm-hmm. And you see like the ghostly things caught on camera. A lot of times, that's what they're looking for.
Yeah,
there might be a situation on like a security camera where something might happen, but this is one of those times where it's completely out of left field. It's not expected at all. Well, I'm assuming I've never seen the Our Guy in Italy or Our Man in Italy show on. Our Man in Italy show on Amazon Prime. I've never seen it. By the way, Amazon Prime, if you're looking to sponsor a podcast, I'm in the market. But it's one of those things, like, I'm looking at it, and it's not intentional. It's not a ghost show. It just happens that they pick this thing up. It could be a trick in the lighting. You're in the production.
Yeah.
What's your take on it?
Could be anything. Bob, I'm gonna chalk it up to, okay, so dust forming at the correct moment to form a little figure that looks like it's walking across the screen. How about that?
It's interesting.
Dust all clumping together at the precise time to make a little figure that happened to look like it was walking. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the lighting, right? Let's not forget about that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I'm going to share this up so you guys can see it for yourselves. I'm interested to hear what you
think. It's a real supernatural thing?
I'm going to watch the actual clip from the show. I don't need a doctored clip that everybody puts up online, because it sounds like a group of TikTokers are the ones who pointed this out initially.
That, yeah.
Or somebody put it up on their Snapchat. I need to physically sit down and watch the show. So I will probably do that, like, tonight. I will pull up the episode so I can actually see it.
We want the raw footage as well.
I want the actual footage. I don't need something that somebody put up online after the fact. But it's still an interesting thing. So again, I'm going to put that up so you guys can see it on the Children of the Night page, which you guys should be joining anyway.
Perfect.
All right, you ready to move on?
Yeah.
All right, so this isn't a breaking news story by any means. In fact, it is a 1,600-year-old news story.
That's not breaking at all.
No, it's not breaking at all. In fact, it's been around. But it's an interesting story nonetheless, because people are now paying attention to it, and it's a very odd story. Keep in mind, folks, I'm not a scientist. I play one on TV. I might dabble in some pseudosciences, but I don't. Chemical compounds and stuff like that. So I'm going to preface the story by telling that. I found this story myself on Oddity Central, and it is the 16-year-old iron pillar that refuses to rust.
Okay.
And I also want to point out that I do not speak the New Delian language.
No, neither
so
do
this
I.
is the story comes to us from New Delhi, and it is the Quwat-ul-Islam Mosque complex in New Delhi is the home of an ancient wonder of metalwork, a 1,600-year-old iron pillar that is exceptionally resistant to rust. It's an interesting thing, right? So it's this relic. You're laughing.
Yeah, because, I mean, a pillar, listen, Bob, there's lots of pillars here around the region.
Yeah.
They all rust.
Yeah, this thing does not.
How?
So I will get there. So the iron pillar of the Qutb Minar, as this ancient monument is sometimes referred to, measures at 7.21 meters tall and has a diameter of 41 centimeters wide and weighs about 6 tons. It's more than a It's also more than 1.5 million years old and believed to have been erected during the reign of Chandragupta II, one of the most powerful emperors of the Gupta Empire. And even through spent all of its time outdoors, the pillar almost shows no signs of rust damage. For decades, scientists and metalworkers from all over the world speculated about the properties of this unusual marvel, and it wasn't until 2003 that they believed that they actually figured out the mystery. But it's still baffling people to this day. There was a time when many believed that this rust-resistant pillar was made out of some mysterious non-earthly metal, while others speculated whoever made it used a futuristic technique that was lost to the mist of time. The second theory is technically true, as people believe at the Kanpur ITT demonstrated that they might have figured it out. They say that the pillar is a living testimony to the skill of metal workers of ancient India, explaining that the wrought iron feature adds a layer of protection called misselwhite, and pretty much what this is, it coated the iron so it wouldn't rust. Now, with that being said, people believe that they got it wrong. So people are going back and retesting it now when they're not actually seeing that coating on the iron around the pillar.
Okay.
So it's just kind of a baffling mystery. The 1,600-year-old pillar.
Yeah.
What is? Isn't rusting.
Yeah. Well.
And it's keep in mind, it's also a religious, like, you know.
Yeah.
Thing as well too. It's a monument.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing, Bob.
Uh-huh.
I'll give you my take right now, I guess.
Sure, that's what I'm looking for.
Yes, but I wait for you always to announce the actual segment, Panic's take. Hey, here's the thing, Bob.
Oh, hashtag Panic's take.
It's amazing how things of the past, not just this pillar that doesn't rust, But some of these other mysteries out there. I mean, look at Stonehenge, right?
Yeah.
How that the pyramids. How did some of the stuff get built? How did the stuff come to be where nowadays it takes us 2 years to construct a concrete road? These things back then were getting done left and right, and nobody, without the equipment, without the, really just, all you had was manpower, and how many guys did you really have to do this? I mean, it was amazing what people got done, whether it be this pillar that never rusted, or, like I said, pyramids, Stonehenge, all these other mysteries of Marvel out there that I just don't understand.
Yeah.
Aren't you amazed by it all?
I am amazed. The pyramids, right? I picked out this topic specifically just to
amaze me.
to do them more than just to amaze you, Count Panic. Oh. I have other MOs, you know.
I thought you were just trying to amaze me here.
Amaze you, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, Count. Let's take a quick break.
Sure.
Let's collect ourselves, and we'll be right back with the lore of the week.
All right.
This is Mike.
This is Jacob.
And this is Matt.
We are Moth Boys,
a podcast on cryptids, conspiracies, and the unknown. You can catch us every other Monday on, actually, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Thank you.
And we're back.
Wow.
Hey, Count Panic.
How's it going, Bob?
Oh, not too bad. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine. Can't complain.
That's good. I like to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's going on? What'd you do during break?
During the break, Bob, I made my very own pyramid.
What'd you make it out of?
Steel.
You made a steel pyramid.
Right outside the parking lot there.
It blocked my way out, man. How am I going to get out of here?
But I figure you'd be amazed by that.
I am amazed that I can't get out of the parking lot.
Not want to leave. After
yeah, I guess I'm going to be stuck here staring at this pyramid.
Why not? How about you? Would you?
You know, I marveled at your pyramid, the structure, so much that I decided to build a Bob Sphinx.
Wow.
Out of clay.
So it's you, Bob. Your figure. In there as the Sphinx. That's pretty cool. You had a little, what's that traditional head thing called? I don't even know what
the Sphinx?
The headgear.
It's just
the headgear.
The headgear. Yeah. You're throwing me a curveball. I don't know the answer.
Yeah, I got to get the correct terms there. But Bob, that's impressive too. That's a mystery. Without the equipment as well.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. All right, Cal.
Yeah.
You ready to talk a little bit about the lore of the week?
Sure. What is it?
Okay, so let's talk about the lore of the week, right? And the reason why I picked this particular topic out is because, you know, like I was saying, what we do these days, if I go and check on Mom and I hang out with her, we watch a lot of these documentary of sorts. And a lot of these documentaries we catch on, like, Access TV, not public access, but Access TV. They show these things called, like, Mysteries of Music. And it talks about these weird, like, random tidbits of music, like history that you didn't know. And sometimes it's like weird paranormal lore that you didn't expect to happen. So I started picking my brain a little bit, and I'm trying to think how I can loop this into the show, because a lot of these stories that they have, they're quick, fast things. I can knock out a story in like 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
And like, you know, we talk about the cryptid stuff sometimes, yeah. You know, you get these really quick, cool stories, but they don't pad out for an entire episode of the podcast. Mm-hmm. However, then I remembered something that came up that I kind of forgot about over the time. And that is, have you ever seen the celebrity ghost story shows?
You know what, Bob? I have seen some of these episodes. You're talking when celebrities go on the air and they share their tales of their own ghost experiences.
Basically. Yes, but yeah. Celebrities.
Celebrities, yep.
Celebrities. So that's what we're going to do today. We are recounting some of the musicians' greatest ghost stories that were not featured on the show. So these are ones that maybe were featured, you know, once upon a time ago, but a lot of these are more recent, like stories from recent celebrities as well. All musicians, by the way. So we're going to look at that. Both of these articles, one's going to be coming to us from Rolling Stones and one's going to be coming from Loudwire. So we're going to look at a couple of these stories and we're going to talk about them.
Yeah.
And we're going to get your take on them.
I'm curious.
Yes. So the first one, and it comes to no surprise. So when you think about the way that a rock and roll star or a metal star may make themselves out to be, like their character.
Of course.
You would think that the way that they dress and they present themselves, that they would be more likely to have like a ghost encounter, right? Because it's like, oh, you think about that kind of a thing. It's like, oh, somebody like this person may spend their evenings ghost hunting or doing something along them lines, right? Based on like the character that they put out. Mm-hmm. And it was no surprise to me that Alice Cooper has a ghost story, not only a normal ghost story, but one that's attached to the Amityville Horror House.
Really?
All right.
Alice Cooper.
So During in 1983, Alice Cooper and Aerosmith's Joe Perry got together and they wanted to write some new music because they just got done with a stint of some medical work. And they got this revival in their careers and they wanted to get a fresh start on their lives. So they met up in New York and they started to sit down and start writing some music. And as he was doing it, they were sitting up in upstate New York in a house in the middle of a farm country. And Alice Cooper says that, "I'm putting my clothes away. I leave the room and come back and the closet door is closed. The drawer I was packing is closed, but he doesn't remember closing it. And the house was so full of whatever that on the second night we're there, we're sitting there and eating dinner, and it sounds like somebody is moving furniture in the basement. It was making so much noise, and it wasn't even trying to be subtle. The third night they were there, there were creaks in the floorboards and disembodied voices that Joe Perry woke up in the middle of the night and told Alice Cooper to shut up." And Alice Cooper's like, "It's 2 a.m, man. I'm sleeping myself." And they're like, "No, you're talking to somebody on the phone because I could clearly hear you from down the hall." And it's like, "Well, no, these weird things have been going on the past few days. What do you think it is?" And apparently Joe Perry was on the skeptical side of things. And come to find out, they start comparing their notes together. And Joe Perry's like, "Well, that's kind of strange." And apparently when they kind of figured things out is when they both experienced something at the same exact time. Because Joe Perry's hearing these disembodied voices. Alice Cooper's hearing these, having stuff moved around his bedroom quite a bit.
Yeah.
And hearing the noises down in the basement. Well, they encountered something together when they heard knocking on the walls when they were in that room talking to each other that evening. They got dressed, left the house together, and come to find out that the original The Amityville Horror book that came out, the author that wrote The Amityville Horror book actually wrote the book in this farmhouse that they rented out.
Really?
So it turned out to be that they're having these ghostly experiences in the same home.
That's interesting.
That the gentleman wrote the Amityville
the book. Yeah. Well, that is interesting, Bob, because, you know, some could say if Alice Cooper and Joe Perry are hanging out together in a hotel, it could be maybe Steven Tyler roaming about the halls and making some noise due to a wild night. But not the case here. Some paranormal activity going on. And it's weird. Isn't it strange how if you're writing a book about a subject matter on a haunted home, then in turn, that place could also be haunted?
Yes.
That's strange, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Blows your mind.
And it's one of the, like I was saying, you know, you think of like the character that Alice Cooper portrays like in his music. It's like, if anybody that has like a ghost story, it's like, man, I really like to hear an Alice Cooper one because he has that energy of
my nightmare. And all
right. Yeah. And it's, you know, the reason why I find the celebrity ghost stories more in a lot of times interesting is because it adds a certain layer of validity to it.
Yeah.
Right. So we talk about when we hear ghost stories or we hear, you know, people's encounters or something that they share with us on the show. We always take it to heart. We believe what they have to say, even if it turns out to be something explainable. You believe it, but they don't like to go public with it. It's not something they just throw out there for most of the time. It's a lot of times these people keep these stories very quiet.
Yeah.
You know, there's something on the line about coming out right and saying that there's something paranormal going on in the world there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But these celebrities are coming out and telling their stories on like national TV, or in this case, like Loudwire or Rolling Stones magazine. I mean, maybe they have nothing to gain from them sharing these stories, but it just, like I said, when you're that confident that something weird is going on around you, that you're able to go to the public in order to do something, then there you go. What I mean?
For sure. And one more note about Alice Cooper. Nothing like his onstage character.
I've seen Alice Cooper twice.
Really?
And he's an interesting act.
Yeah, I mean, he's over there. There's spooky stuff going on stage, people running around with chainsaws and things of that nature. But, you know, off camera, he seems like just off stage. He seems just like a normal, everyday guy.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, so the next one is a story from Corey Taylor, who's a frontman in Slipknot.
Slipknot, scary band.
Scary.
As well.
we're gonna rate the band.
Spookiest band.
Spookiest band. Slipknot.
They're terrifying. Weren't you terrified of Slipknot as a kid?
I listened to the music.
Yeah, but just
Alice Medicine. Cooper was a lot scarier than Slipknot, man.
Yeah, I think it was those masks that Slipknot.
I get it. Okay. Anyway, regardless. So yeah. Corey Taylor has had a number of paranormal experiences over the years, and something he tried to come to terms with in his book that he put out recently. A funny thing happened on the way to heaven. While out promoting the book, he shared some bizarre experiences from his life in the book, and recalls some of the instances of thermoses flying across the kitchen and hearing footsteps behind him on hardwood floors, only to turn and find nobody there. Taylor revealed that one of his earliest experiences came from when he and some of his fellow neighborhood kids explored a nearby abandoned house in the neighborhood, and they called it the Cold House, said Taylor. And side note, anytime that a bunch of kids are investigating like the local like spooky abandoned house in the neighborhood, that's such a classic like basis for a good ghost story, but I digress. It says Taylor, and liking it to the kind of place that you would dare your friends to enter. And one night, him and his group of friends decided they were going to just do that. They dared themselves and entered the house. He goes on to say, we were all standing on the first floor of the place. It was two stories, and this thing came down the stairs at us, explained Taylor. It was a silhouette of a man that was kind of backlit and away from its own energy. It came down the stairs, almost gliding at us. We flipped out, nearly killed ourselves running from outside the house, and running out, Corey Taylor's leg went through the rotted wood on the front porch, and he says he still has a scar on his shin from this very day.
Interesting. What is do you think there's like a connection here between, again, I know what the next story is going to be, but between spooky stage personas and ghost stories? Because both these guys maybe have dabble with maybe a darker, I don't want to say, well, that doesn't mean it's a paranormal is always a dark thing, but I'm just saying, like, they maybe dabble in some kind of supernatural realm a little bit when they go on stage,
right,
and perform.
You have a presence to you, right? You got
maybe something is latching on to that.
Well, this is also Corey Taylor as a child.
Well, but how do you know it wasn't a, it knew, the presence knew that Corey Taylor would go on to have a spooky presence on stage?
I get, sure. I don't know.
I'm stretching here a little bit.
You're stretching. Yeah, I see that. And it's still interesting that this silhouetted thing decided to glide down at them. And it's almost humanizing, right, when you hear some of these guys or these people, like, discussing their ghost stories, too.
Yeah.
Because for our international audience, you might not know this, but we kind of idolize celebrities in this country sometimes at a very unhealthy way. Yeah. I know that's kind
of obsessive,
very much so. That is very uncommon in other places around the world. So it's kind of interesting when you get to look at stories like this coming from a celebrity, like in our country, because people aren't, you know, we idolize them, and this kind of brings them down to our level almost, you know? It's like, oh, wait, you guys are experiencing these weird things too. And it's really funny when you get to hear these, because I don't want to say it's humbling, but it's very, like I said, it's very down to earth. It's very real when a celebrity shares like an encounter like this. And it's not like this is an over the top ghost story either. It's something that you and your neighborhood friends might have done in their day, either, you know, going into that abandoned old house in the neighborhood, or in my case, going down Reeder Road, which is like this really, you know, silly stretch of trail that you can walk down.
Yeah.
But like, that's what I did when I was 14, 15 years old. Like, that's how I did paranormal investigations as a kid. I used a flashlight and walked around those places. But those are the archetypes for a good story. And it's really interesting that you hear these stories coming from a celebrity. And it's no different. Like, if I got this story from Henry Godwin, right?
Yeah.
I'm just using that name, but like, Henry Godwin shares a story, it's a cool ghost story. But it comes from somebody like Corey Taylor, it's kind of, it adds a different layer to it.
You know, a little bit, you know, makes you pay attention a little bit more.
All right, let's move on. So the next one comes to us from comes to us from the band The Doors.
Oh.
Yes. And this is a story of when Robert Krieger was visited by a dream from the late Jim Morrison.
Interesting.
Yes. I was having a reoccurring dream in which Jim had just returned from France, where he met his demise, and had accomplished what he went there for in the first place, to get rest, get clean, and change his rock star lifestyle. the frontman of the Doors told the Loudwire. We talk about where he's been and what he's doing, and I ask him if he's been working on any new material, and before he just answers, I wake up. And when I first told the other bandmates about this, the other bandmates have stepped up and said they've had that dream too, pretty much down to the very nitty gritty. And even to this day, there is a very famous image. Are you familiar with it?
By the gravesite.
Yeah.
Right?
So there's a ghostly image photographed of the hand at the Jim Morrison's grave. Jim Morrison's bandmates might not be the only one who visited seen Jim Morrison beyond the grave. Rock historian Brett Meisner revealed that in 1997, while stopping at the Paris Lachaise cemetery in Paris, he had a photo taken of the grave. 5 years later, coming across the photo, there appears to be a chilling image in the shot that looks to be the singer himself. The Express, Meisner told the Express that while thousands of people have visited the grave, nobody has captured this strange image. And I'll share the image so you guys can see it on line down in the Children of the Night page afterwards. But you guys can see it, you know, the Jim Moore. Are you familiar with the image?
I'm very familiar. And, you know, Doors, one of my favorite bands of all time.
Oh, really?
I love Doors.
Were you familiar with the story of the bandmates seeing Jim Morrison?
Like, I've heard of it. Not that specific one, but I know there has been visions of Jim Morrison before. But that photo, legendary photo. And that photo, have they done research on that photo? Is it proven to be...
I'm not familiar, to be completely honest with you. I'd never seen the photo before I did the research for the episode.
It looks eerie, right?
Oh, very much so.
Yeah. He's doing the pose and everything.
Yeah.
Which leads me to believe that maybe somebody tried to, like, doctor something.
I might be doctored.
Yeah, because it looks too much like the guy.
But I guess if somebody's going to come back from the grave, it might be a very well-minded, like, spiritual person like Jim Morrison. If he could figure out, I'll use the term force ghost, if somebody could come back and, like, be a complete, like, an intelligent haunting, knowing that they're dead and they're, you know, doing this thing. Jim Morrison is definitely that type.
He broke on through to the other side,
and that's the joke that they talk about here in the Loudwire article. And it's interesting that all of his bandmates had the same dream. Mm. It's not uncommon for people to have dreams about their loved ones, and, you know, when you're a band, you're together all the time. So I'll just use the term loved one, and it, you know, varies in this case too. It's interesting that somebody that the entire band had the same dream. It's not uncommon for somebody to have a dream about a past loved one.
Yeah.
But the fact that you're having the same dream across the board down to the dialogue. Now that is an interesting story, you know? And I mean, people might be just saying that. There might be no validity to it, but the fact that they all said that they had the same one, then there you go. And that leaves you to wonder, is Jim Morrison working on more music from beyond the grave?
Yeah, well, there's you know, a lot of stories about, well, some of the artists are still alive or not. Jim Morrison said, oh, Jim Morrison's still out there. Same thing with Elvis. That's a big one. Tupac. But yeah, some interesting stuff there. And, he was very in touch with his self and as far as, being hip on poetry and maybe some psychedelics they're involved with. But he was very in tune. So, if there was one guy to do it, one lead singer from any band, I think it would be Jim Morrison.
Absolutely. Fun fact about that, the photo, that's the Jim Morrison ghostly photo. Yeah. Meisner, the historian that took the photo, believes that capturing the image of Jim Morrison's ghost has left him cursed.
Really?
Yes. He said that starting that his marriage broke down, he lost a close friend to a drug overdose, soon after, got into a car crash, and other weird bad things happened to them since. He goes on records to say, part of me wishes that I never stepped foot in that graveyard in the first place. I'm partly to blame for talking about it in the first place, and I should have just kept it to myself, referring to the photo. And Meisner says he's had visitors come to his home with messages from Jim. And while at first it's interesting to see the people had the bond with the photo, he now views it as a negative vibe.
Well, that makes it that's too bad for him, but it kind of validates that it could be a real photo then. Wow. But still, horrible for him then, for taking that. That's the thing sometimes, Bob, you think about when you go to some of these places. Am I doing something wrong here, right? If I'm snapping photos and I get something, will I be cursed in turn? And for this photographer, might be the case. Could be true for him.
Okay. Bet you're going to be surprised about the one I talk about next.
All right, what do we got?
Are you familiar with the show Ghost Adventures Company?
Ghost Adventures, yeah.
Hosted by our old pal, Zach Bagans.
Wow.
So one of my favorite episodes of Ghost Adventures, and God, I can't believe I'm saying that out loud, but one of my favorite episodes, have you ever seen the Las Vegas Riviera Hotel episode?
I recall that.
When they get Vince Neil to come
Vince
and do
her. Molly Crew.
Yeah, so Vince Neil believes that he sees spirits floating around Las Vegas, specifically in the Riviera Hotel and specifically in room 908. He told the Las Vegas Sun, "After what we experienced, I now really believe in this paranormal phenomena. And when you get a chance to watch the episode, it'll give you a scare too." Neil joined the show's host and several other Vegas celebrities at a party in the hotel's old penthouse in the hopes of conjuring up some ghosts from Las Vegas past. "We experienced unexplained first-hand encounters, including scratch marks on one woman's back, cold spots, disembodied voices, and knocking on the walls around the room," Neil said of the expedition. "But when we went into room 908, we had a really shocking, overwhelming physical sense of something strange going on, and it was an experience of our lives. It sounds like one heck of a party." Mm-hmm. But if you get a chance to watch the Vince Neil episode of Ghost Adventures, I can't recommend it. It's a really good one.
Yeah, well, again, Vince Neil, a guy that's lived a hard life as well. A lot of these bands, Bob, they lived a hard life. And I wonder if that, in turn, too, makes you more perceptive to the paranormal right there. But, you know, who am I to doubt Vince Neil? If he's heard things and even seen things, I'm going based off his word. With all these stories, you're going based off of their word. But, Vince Neil. Now, here's the thing. Case in point with Joe Perry and Alice Cooper as well. Vince Neil, again, partier. You have to make sure, Bob, and I think you could verify this as well. When you encounter something paranormal, say you've been drinking a little bit too much, or God forbid you're doing drugs, right?
Sure.
And you start hearing things and saying things. You got to rule out that it's not the side effects of maybe a long night of partying, right? You never go into something. Yeah, you can't be in the right mindset if you're on the surgeon. Not saying Vince Neil was at this moment, but, you know, you want to be clear mind.
No, that's a good point.
Yes.
Anytime you do a paranormal investigation or you're getting involved into the paranormal, with the exception of the Displains Law number 3, you always want to be clear-headed and substance-free going into an investigation or just dealing with the paranormal in general. Because when you're inebriated on any kind of altering substances, I'm not just limiting that to any kind of, you know, drug use, but alcohol too. You get involved in something like this and it might inhibit your reality a little bit.
Of course,
and you might start experiencing things that might be a little bit more heightened because you're under the influence.
I'm just saying.
And it might make you a little bit more hysterical to the fact that something might be going on. You following me?
I follow.
So that's a very good point that you make. That's one of my big rules I always tell people when they do, you know, investigations. You kind of want to
drink after.
You drink afterwards. Then that you can count and spend on many investigations with me in the past. We always end up going to have
it's
a beer
encouraged.
Afterwards. It's encouraged. Drive safely, folks. Drink responsibly. Yeah, yeah. Drive safely. Don't be silly, but go have, if you're of age, go have a drink afterwards. Talk about your experiences, but go in with a clear mind because you're going to have a better experience than if you're not.
Exactly.
Facts. Yeah. So I got a couple more I want to talk about, and one of which is from one of my favorite bands growing up. Did you know that My Chemical Romance has their own ghost story as well?
Again, one of these bands that kind of is a little spooky, I guess, as a kid, My Chemical Romance, known to be emo, right? So it wouldn't shock me if they did have a story. What's their story?
Okay, so the My Chemical Romance was hanging out at a notoriously haunted mansion, the Paramore. Not to be confused with the band that's spelled different, the Paramour. While there, the band noticed that doors were slamming and opening on their own volition, and a serious atmosphere always seemed to inhabit their surroundings. Gerard Way, who was the frontman in the band, experienced night terrors, while the bassist Mikey Way eventually vacated the mansion's most haunted room to sleep on Gerard's floor because he just couldn't take it. He felt like somebody was touching his legs during his sleep. Mm. And the entire band left before their scheduled time, and they felt like a curse seemed to follow them. During the famous Last Words video, Frank, another person in the band, jumped on singer Gerard Way, causing the vocalist to tear ligaments in his ankle. Meanwhile, the drummer Bob Breyer's leg caught on fire during one take, and he suffered second and third degree burns, which eventually infected into causing gangrene. Breyer would also injure his wrist on tour. Members of the band and crew got food poisoning, causing cancellation of 6 shows. And at one point, one of the band members got so sick that they just had to leave the tour due to like serious illness. So they feel like their experience at the Paramore not only caused them to have a haunting experience while they were there, but it caused them some sort of curse when they left. And that is interesting, because you hear these stories in the celebrity ghost stories in particular, and a couple of them, you feel they talk about these cursed things happening to them after the fact. Maybe that's a little bit more, say, Hollywood it up a little bit, because I typically don't hear about, you know, curses following you back. Sometimes a spirit might follow you, but this is a lot of nasty bad stuff happening to the band all at once for it to be kind of coincidental. I'm not too familiar with the Paramore Mansion as far as it being like haunted, and what kind of ghost stories are attached to that. But whatever was there, if you're buying into the concept that the band did get cursed, there's probably something really nasty that followed them back for all of them to have problems all like that at once.
Yeah, no, for sure. And again, if the whole band is experiencing something like this, then you know something is really thrown off. And, you know, it might be some kind of curse, because what year did that happen, Bob?
That would have been the famous last words. So it's been a little bit.
The lead singer had his problems since then as well. So you never know, Bob. There could be curses that go along with that. Curses are real. Gotta be careful.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to be careful 1,000,000%. So the last one, there's a couple more I want to talk about, because it's not just rock and roll that leads people to believe, you know, these rock and roll stars are the only ones that have these ghost stories as well.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the pop idol?
Yeah.
Adele?
Yeah.
Are you familiar with Adele?
Yeah.
So did you know that Adele owns a mansion?
Well, I would assume by now.
That's haunted.
She bought it haunted?
Yes.
Or it became haunted?
This is from the Rolling Stones article. The once multi-platinum pop star Adele moved into a beautiful $6 million home in 2012. Upon moving in and getting herself settled, she began hearing strange noises that gave her the creeps. The singer's lavish 25-acre West Sussex property had previously been a convent, fit with its very own chapel. Apparently, Adele was so spooked by the sounds that she's heard that she upped her security to around-the-clock surveillance, like that's going to help you, and tacked on 2 additional groundsmen to protect her from whatever spirits may be lurking around.
Interesting.
So she hired the living to take care. You know, Adele, that sounds like you need to call some professionals to go in there. I don't know. Adele, I don't know if you're listening to this. I highly doubt you are. But if you are and you're still having these ghostly encounters, give us a call. I'll do an investigation of your mansion.
You know, Adele probably wants to enjoy her fame and fortune. And she can't do it because some dang ghosts are haunting her. It's tough sometimes, Bob, when all you want to do is live peacefully in your mansion and there's ghosts attached to it.
You know, you look at ghost stories and what locations you always hear that are haunted, right? Mm-hmm. And it always fascinates me when it's a religious ground that has the haunting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, for example, the one here in the region that has the ghost stories, and I've talked to a lot of the students that went there. I did not go there myself. Was St. John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. People believe in the story of the nun, ghost that wanders their halls, and I've talked to people that believe they've seen her.
St. Stan's, too. Has
no kidding.
The nuns, yeah, because there was a fire back at St. Stan's back in the day.
Yeah.
And they say nuns still roam the hall.
And that's interesting. Maybe in that case, because the fire happened.
Maybe.
But, like, I don't recall a fire happening at St. John's. So it always leaves me to wonder if there's a reason why a religious ghost would come back. Maybe it's unfinished business.
Yeah.
Maybe it's an energy left behind type of deal. But if you ask, you know, the church their stance on what a ghost is, most of the time they're going to tell you that they don't believe in them.
Maybe an attachment, Bob, right?
I would say so. That makes sense, right?
Yeah. I mean, you figure this is where they taught, they educated, that a lot of items, holy items left behind there in a Catholic educational school. So you never know. It could be something they were attached to. And it's keeping them from maybe going to the other side there. But, yeah, Bob. You know, nuns back in the 1950s, I wasn't around, but I hear they were terrifying enough. You don't need a ghost nuns really walking around. But shame for Adele. Hope she gets that mansion fixed.
Absolutely. And it's a $6 million. It's a gorgeous mansion.
Yeah, I'm sure.
All right. So this next one, I'm just going to share it because it's an interesting story, but take it with as much grain of salt as you possibly want.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with 80s pop sensation Tiffany?
I think we're alone now.
I think we're alone now. You're absolutely correct. According to Rolling Stones, before Tiffany became the 80s mall pop sensation, the young singer struggled with a lasting family demon that led her to explore the dark arts.
Wow.
In fact, she found an outlet for her home life frustrations through dabbling in black magic, whatever that means. Tiffany and her girlfriends acquired a copy of The Satanic Verses and began to practice innocuous spells, and once told her father she was not allowed to go to a party, and she reached for the book. But shortly after, the demonic figure of a man with no eyes attempted to hold her down. She claims that she warded him off by the power of prayer and apologizing to God for her involving herself with demons.
Wow. Who knew that about Tiffany?
I did not know that about Tiffany, but apparently Tiffany summoned a demon and got rid of it by apologizing to God. I'm just reciting a story, folks. Take that however you want.
I mean, all I really got to say about this is maybe she's not alone.
I'm not trying to laugh at the, you know, Tiffany's prior prior experiences.
Horrible.
By any means. It's an interesting story.
Yeah.
That one, I think, came from America's Celebrity Ghost Stories. That used to be on A&E once upon a time ago.
Career is cursed.
I'm in believing of in regards to my father. Cher even had a ghostly encounter herself. My father's favorite icon of all time was Cher. Cher certainly is a big believer in the paranormal, especially because she claimed more than once that she receives playful visits from her ex-husband, Sonny Bono. She told reporters that it's a total peaceful thing. She's not upset by it. And she also responded to several questions regarding whether or not that she believes in spirits, and her answer, absolutely not. I love ghosts. I actually think that Sonny makes a light go on. So it's not that she believes in some of the nonsensical stories. I think that in her mind, she believes that visitations are possible. In her mind, in this visitation, it's Sonny coming to her house and paying her a visit and turning her light on and off. Now, listen, Dad, if you're hearing this, please don't be turning on my light in the middle of the night. All that's going to do is make me mad.
Yeah.
So don't do that.
Yeah.
But no, it's interesting to hear that, because even Cher, at her high level of, you know, stardom, she even saw it. Like, she even believes that she's seeing things like that.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it's comforting, you know, Sonny and Cher. One of the legendary couples of music and entertainment. So I guess if you're going to be haunted by a ghost, if you are Cher, why not be haunted by the ghost of Sonny Bono?
I have one more.
Yeah.
I have one more story. And this is farthest thing from a rock or pop icon. Are you familiar with Kendrick Lamar?
Oh, Bob, now I'm hip with the kids.
You're hip with the kids.
I know what it is.
So you know you know Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
Did you know Kendrick Lamar had his own ghost encounter?
Bob, I had no clue.
With another hip hop artist.
Is it who I think?
So acclaimed rap artist and activist Kendrick Lamar claims to have been visited in his sleep by a ghost of the legendary Tupac Shakur.
I figured it was Tupac.
Lamar spoke of the incident to Homegrown Radio, recalling how Shakur's silhouette came to him and said, "Keep doing what you're doing. Don't let my music die."
Nice.
This experience later inspired the closing song to Pimp a Butterfly, titled Mortal Man, in which he samples his real-life interview with the fallen rap legend in 1994.
Wow, how about that? You know what, Bob? That's good. I mean, again, worser dreams could occur, but being visited by one of the greatest hip-hop artists of all time, Tupac, I mean, that's got to feel good. I mean, if we're visited by... I don't want to, you know, I don't want to say a rapper that wasn't that great that passed, but I'm not going to bring that up. But Tupac, though, why not? And it inspired him as well. Look at, he's making music now, probably.
And that's an
story.
Interesting one, because some of my favorite ghost stories are some that are attached to celebrities, like a celebrity ghost sighting.
Yeah.
For example, like Abraham Lincoln's Ghost Train. I know it's a politician, but stuff like that. I always appreciate like a ghost story that's attached, attached to somebody. Or like Ghostly just did an episode about Bela Lugosi's apartment recently. Check that one out. It's really good.
He's buried in his cape.
He was buried in his cape, you know. But I digress. So you get these stories, and they're always fascinating to me. I always appreciate when you hear a ghost story about a celebrity. But this is a celebrity ghost encounter from a celebrity.
Yeah.
So Kendrick Lamar believes that he saw Tupac, and Tupac gave him a very encouraging, inspiring message, which is great.
And it's funny because they never met each other in real life. Like The Doors, Jim Morrison knew all those guys.
They knew all the bandmates,
but
yes.
Tupac, I mean, he has to realize Kendrick Lamar is a current rapper. Like, hey, if I'm going to visit one person in their dreams tonight, why not visit Kendrick? Maybe get my words out there to him, and then he gets the words out there to the public because Tupac can't do it because he's dead.
Right.
Yeah. Makes sense, Bob.
All in all, I just want to share those, share some of those stories.
That was good.
And
I like that,
folks. Sorry about, we had some technical difficulties earlier, and that kind of threw us off a little bit. And I'm just, oh, I'm sorry
we
about.
We're all on the radio.
Yeah. Do you have any closing words for us to count panic,
Bob? Again, if you're a celebrity, stories out there, fascinating. One day though, Bob, they're gonna be asking you, what is your ghost story there?
Hey, I have them.
Get Bob Anderson in there.
I have them. Yeah. The celebrity ghost story, I'm going to show up in my vest and be like, do I seem like the type that would see a ghost? Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's like the paranormal guy saw a ghost. It would be I guess it would be silly if I didn't have a ghostly encounter, but this is what I do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And there's probably a lot of celebrities out there that are not sharing their stories. So there's always room for other seasons of this show.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Count Panic and me need our own episode on celebrity ghost stories.
Yeah.
Because we've experienced them together as well.
Yeah, celebrities?
No, ghost stories. We've experienced. We've experienced the same ghost story together.
Well, we might have had John Dillinger's ghost at one point, lingering in the Crown Point jail. So
the ladies were at the Crown Point jail as well. They loved you.
Yeah. But what ghost girls don't, you know?
Dudooch.
Yeah.
Folks, thank you for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. To my mom, I just want to wish you sweet dreams. Dad, wherever you are in the universe, I hope you're comfortable, happy, and just comfortable. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. Remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are, not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.